No more. Post 602. A note. The addendums and footnotes after the main post may be worth your time to read. I have not recorded them. More and more, I think in long screams of fury and powerlessness. Or, I imagine the U.S. as one of those spinning cylinders at a fairgrounds, the rotors, where you pay your money to be held fast against a wall by centrifugal force, and the floor drops out, and there you are pinned up and screaming. Except, I take the whole little movie to its ultimate end, and watch it blow apart, and starburst bodies and machine parts everywhere. It sure feels like that. And we are not even to the really awful parts yet. When I am tired, and chin deep in tales of imperial corruption, the dying of the natural world, feral politicians, and ever more evidence that crime sure does pay when you are rich, white, connected, and old, I mumble to myself, we are so fucked. I know a collective, penultimate scream is building up in all of us, Trump supporters and opposition. We are living in a bad time that does not yet feel like an end time. Money's being made. People are working, football is king, we continue to burrow into our online worlds, and the fantasies replete on every other kind of screen. Yes, Trump is the lunatic raging in the corner, smashing the furniture, furious in his decay. But who has not learned to tune him out after all these months? I do not know where we fit on a timeline for a cataclysm. I suspect we will fall apart through governmental rot, and as a result of draconian laws and attitudes, abortion, voter suppression and gerrymandering, tax inequality, the tyranny of a Republican minority, the eternal faint-heartedness of Democrats. Before we go to war. But climate change is here, and will grow so much more apparent with every season. When will the population migrations kick in within our borders? The rivers flood ceaselessly or dry up. The seas demolish all those rich shore towns. Fields drown in incessant rain or blow away in renewed dust storms. Tornadoes descend like Valkyries everywhere across the Midwest. We have been here before, on the edge, utterly unaware of the plunge to come. But that was 158 years ago, and that's just history. And Americans' ignorance of history is depthless, as is our ability to believe in fairy tales. Andrew O'Hare recently wrote that too many Americans clear across the political spectrum remain afflicted by what psychologist Elizabeth Micah has defined as narcissistic blindness, a pathological byproduct of American exceptionalism, our conviction that it can't happen here because we are the beacon of democracy, we have our esteemed institutions, and other self-serving fairy tales reasserting American superiority and invincibility, as if we were exempt from the universal laws governing humanity since time immemorial. So, really, we haven't been here. Not Americans. Others have, of course. In The Captive Mind, Czeslaw Milosz wrote about the role of writers living under post-war Stalinist regimes in Poland and elsewhere in Eastern Europe. In one chapter, he offers a series of observations about the United States circa 1951, but his conclusions bear repeating now in light of our present political struggles. In World War II, he had seen his city, Warsaw, and Poland as a whole, reduced to poverty and ruin. Until that kind of apocalypse, man tends to regard the world he lives in as natural, and the rhythms of his normal life as essential to the harmonious functioning of the world. In other words, men and women will live comfortably within an illusion as long as they can. The illusion being that the deep faith that their way of life, their comforts, work, and safety will abide no matter what happens elsewhere. Milosz had seen this assumption firsthand in pre-war Warsaw and Paris. So what happens when war comes to their homes? Their first stroll along a street littered with glass from bomb-shattered windows shakes their faith in the naturalness of this world. Overnight, money loses its value and becomes a meaningless mass of printed paper. They acquire new habits quickly. They grow accustomed to stepping over corpses in the street, to shattered houses, and to checkpoints where people disappear into vans never to be seen again. He also makes the point that most people do not see the catastrophe before it arrives. Until close to the end, the Poles believed a way would be found to stave off Hitler and Stalin. They remained innocent, as in naive. And that innocence resulted in a lack of imagination. They could not imagine what we know now came down upon them like all the furies. Something Robert Caro said recently has stayed with me. You don't know if this is an aberration or not, if Trump is something outside and he's going to lose and we'll forget. Or is he the first of the mad Roman emperors? I do not hold out hope that the 2020 election will change much, even if Trump is defeated. That evil prick Mitch McConnell will return, and the preference of Republicans for a monarchy is going nowhere. Joe Biden, the current polling frontrunner for the Democratic nomination, recently said, "I just think the thing that will fundamentally change things is with Donald Trump out of the White House. Not a joke. You will see an epiphany occur among many of my Republican friends." Statements like that make me wonder if dementia isn't coded into Democratic leaders' DNA. While Attorney General Bill Barr and Treasury Secretary Mnuchin lurch forward with efforts to make Trump immune to all congressional oversight, while National Security Advisor Bolton tries to push us into a war with Iran, while tens of thousands of migrants suffer in privatized camps, including 14,000 children, while the president prepares to pardon service members convicted of war crimes, Schumer and Pelosi refuse to fully exploit their power to fight back. Democrats should be fighting back everywhere, on all fronts. Many decibels of my scream are produced by their inaction and excuses. I'm done writing about Trump. If you want more, then read Suetonius and Tacitus, who have much deeper insights than I will ever produce. I've been looking for some way and place to throw time and energy where action may provide even a quantum of relief from the damage done and the damage to come. Screaming, of course, produces only noise. After the scream comes the work necessary to stand against monstrous actions and to save what can be saved. There are children here and more coming who will inherit the consequences of our history. Despair is an indulgence, a luxury that will only make us poorer.